Okay, you may want to reach over with your right hand and grab your seatbelt today. Click it on. I was so excited about this service because God showed me some new things, and man, I'm thinking, oh, this is so good. And so the first service didn't look like they thought it was so good. Here's my warning to you. Please don't hear condemnation. It may appear to be a little condemning, and I don't mean it that way. I just want us to wake up, okay? Good to see Tom and Judy. And this is Ella's grandparents, right back here in the middle, moving to Texas, I understand. So you will be missed in Kentucky. Amen. Acts chapter 3, I have preached this story many times, but never the way that you're going to hear it preached today, I promise. And so I titled this, The Day the Crippled Danced in Church. The Day the Crippled Danced in Church. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, which would be 3 p.m., and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on them with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now that's a church service. That's what church, when people receive from the Lord, there ought to be a little excitement. Amen? Tell the 8 o'clock class that, would you? And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And so Peter saw it. He responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for the murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Father God, we come before you today very humbly asking for the anointing. Lord, I know your word is anointed because you told us it was. We know it's truth. God, I pray, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth would be anointed. And I pray that the ears that it lands upon will be anointed. And I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts for what stirs yours. I pray, Lord, that we would hear the anointed word and it would change our life. God, we look to you today to do something powerful in this service that a man can't do. God, you said it's not by strength or might, but it's by the power of your Spirit. So, God, we're not looking to a man. We're looking to the Holy Spirit today to touch our hearts, to stir us, Lord, today. So, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. In 1983, we had what I believe was the greatest president ever, Ronald Reagan. And first president I was able to vote for. And so in 1983, he declared the Word of God to be the book, the book of the year, basically. He declared it to be the Word of God. and 1983 was the year of the Bible. And so, baby, we've come a long way, hadn't we? We've come a long way. I want to give you a few statistics that might disturb you just a little bit. About 50% of our nation still calls themselves Christians, but only 6% of the nation actually has a biblical worldview. That's scary. Most people in America do not believe that the Word of God is inerrant. They do not believe that it's the actual Word of God. They surveyed and they asked people five questions. And so they divided it under age group. So the first age group is 21 and under. The second one is 20 to 40. The third one is 40 to 60. And the next one, I'm just going to show you that so you can start to keep it in your mind, is over 60, my age group. And they asked the questions of this. Is falsehoods of minor consequences important? I would phrase it like this. Is it okay to lie once in a while? And the under 21, 60% said that's acceptable. That's okay. 48% of people my age thinks it's okay to lie occasionally. They ask if abortion for any reason is okay. 69% of the younger age said it was. 67, 59, and my age group, 61% of older people in America said abortion for any reason is okay. Consensual heterosexual sex outside of marriage, is that okay? The younger group, 73% says that's okay if it's consensual. Folks, that's 3 out of 4. That is not a biblical worldview. I don't care what you think. I care what the Word of God says. And it's wrong. 69%, 22 through 40, and down to my age, 59% of older adults thought that heterosexual sex outside of marriage is acceptable. How about gay marriage? 62% of our younger crowd. And then it actually goes up. Of the 20 to 40, 70% of 20 to 40 age group believes that gay marriage is all right. Down to my group, 61% felt like it's okay. Not repaying a loan. This is just ridiculous, right? Not repaying a loan. Of the younger group, 50% felt like it's acceptable if they're not harassing you for it. 50% said it's okay not to repay a loan. That should scare you business people. And 25% of my group. Another statistic that I read, there's a significant increase in the what they call the don'ts. They don't believe, they don't know, and they really don't care if God exists. And that population is increasing. I just say that to say, we have a field ahead of us that needs to be worked. Scripture says in Psalms 8, what is man that you're mindful of him? And I want you to know, that was David asking that question. What is man that you're mindful of him? And he is. So I ask you today, what is God going to do about this? And I'm going to answer my question. Nothing. Does that shock you? God's not going to do anything. You know why? Because he's empowered you to. You see, God sent his son to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And then God sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you so that you would go and do the work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, somewhere around verse 18 or 19, he says, you are ambassadors of Christ. As though God were making his plea through you, our job is to represent him on earth. And are we doing that? As God was making his plea through me, if I was living over in another country and I had a major problem, you know where I would go? I would go to the U.S. ambassador, right? And I would plead my case. I'd say, I need help. Do you know, I believe that there are people that we meet every day of our lives that are running to an ambassador of Christ and saying, I need help, and we are ignoring them. So this story that I read, it's so easy to sanitize the Word of God and make these people to be some kind of angelic beings. But the Bible says about the prophet Elijah, in the Old Testament was the prophet that all the people would look to and say, oh my goodness, that's Elijah, right? I mean, he was like hats off and they almost worshiped him. And James says this, Elijah was a man just like you. Just nothing special, except that God was on him. God anointed him to do a work. Well, I got news for you. God has anointed you to do a work. When God gave us the Holy Spirit, I will do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power that's within you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a man, he comes not to do stupid human tricks. He comes to change the world through you. So this is one of my favorite stories. We sang about it when we were kids, right? I won't sing. I know that bothers you when preachers start singing their sermon. Let the Presbyterians holler out. So Peter and John, now you know the personality of Peter, right? It's really obvious to see Peter's personality. He was the guy that had get it done. Just charge the hill, let's get it done. Speak before you think, but just let's do it, right? And so Peter and John are walking through, but now John was a sensitive man. Would you agree? John was the guy who always said that Jesus loved. He was the guy that would be leaning his head on Jesus' shoulder, right? That would bother me a little bit, but that was John, right? He was a sensitive type of guy. These two gentlemen are just going to prayer. Now, this is after the day of Pentecost, and they're doing what they've always been trained to do. They're going to church. Praise God for people that will do that. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. This is the time of prayer, so we're off. We're just going. And this is the way I perceive this in my mind. You don't have to agree. But I think as they're going, John stops. Why? Because he's the sensitive one. He's the one that might see a need before Peter does. Now, Peter speaks first. But the Bible says that they looked upon that man intently. I'm going to tell you, as I studied this word, I could not get away from that phrase. He looked upon him intently. And I thought about this. How many people do we pass by every day that we never stop to see them? We are so much in our own headspace. We're so consumed with us that we don't stop to be an ambassador. Peter and John stop. And I just think Peter or John just fastens eyes with this guy begging. So much to the point that the man noticed, they're looking at me. And if they're looking at me, maybe they want to help me. Hey, can you help me? And then Peter speaks up. He said, what you're asking for, I don't have. Just like a Christian, isn't it? Silver and gold have I none. But what I have is so much more great. See, what I have, I could give you money and that's like putting a Band-Aid on this situation. Because tomorrow you're going to need another Band-Aid. But what I can give you is so much more. I can help you where you can help yourself. What I have is Christ in me. No different than what you have. But they took time to look at somebody, to study the situation, rather than just busy. Oh, I got this to do. I'm telling you, I can ignore every one of you because I'm thinking about preaching. And I get so much into that headspace, I'm like, oh, I just got to go. I got to do that. I got to do this. And I'm probably just like you. We've got to slow down and be an ambassador for Christ. Must be the highest priority of our life. Are you hearing me? I mean it. I really mean this. I don't mean this to be condemnatory at all. I'm just telling you, we are meeting crippled people every day. They may not be physically crippled, but oftentimes they're emotionally crippled. They're mentally crippled. They're relationally crippled. Do you know how many people that you would just, it would be like a drink of water if you just spoke to them and says, God's your hope. God can solve this problem. And I'm telling you, we think about all this stuff happening in church. This is before they ever got to church. How many people are we passing by because church starts at 10:30? I can't be late. I got to be there. Sorry, I can't help you today. I think Jesus would be all right with you stopping the car. You know, I read a story one time about a new pastor taking the church. His first Sunday there, he dressed up like a poor beggar and he just laid in the bushes. He just laid around the church. And every person in the church passed him by and no one spoke to him. And wasn't they surprised when he took the pulpit? Yeah, I'm your new preacher and we got some work to do. How many people are you passing by? Why? Because we do. Do we feel like God can't? I don't think that's it. I think we think God can. I think we think we can't. Because we're putting all the burden on us. The burden's on Him. He just says, you just got to stop. You got to reach out. You know how much faith it took for Peter to reach out and grab that man's hand? I don't think he prayed a long prayer. I think he says, okay, brother, let's do it to it. God touch him, begins to pull him up. That man may have thought, this guy's going to pull me all over Jerusalem. Until all of a sudden he began to feel something in his legs that's happening that he ain't ever felt before. This man had been born lame. And all of a sudden, something's happening in my lower extremities. I can actually feel my feet. I feel a tingling in my toe. What is going on? Can you imagine as that man walked into the house of God? I'm going to tell you, you can't settle that down. We need to know God is the supplier of our need. And we need to quit looking to everything else. And I don't care what your need is. Now, most of the time when we think about that, we think about finances. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. That is a financial verse, but it's not limited to finance. Right? God is well able. You know, when Abraham was 99 years old and God was telling him, you're going to be a daddy soon. Yeah, right. You know? And he revealed to himself, to Abraham, he says, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. See, I think we need to hear that today. I think you need to know that God is almighty. God is all powerful. There's nothing that limits God. God can do whatever He wants to do, but He'll do whatever His Word declares. What can you believe Him for? In Psalms 34, verse 10, it says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Is that a promise you can use? lack nothing. What do you need in your life? Maybe you need an emotional touch. Maybe you need soundness. You know, God could give you soundness of your mind. God can remove the chaos out of your brain. God can do what only God can do. Don't limit the Lord. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things." All these other things that you are so much thinking that you need, if you will get your priorities right, and if you'll seek me and seek my kingdom and seek my righteousness, I'll take care of all the details of your life. I love it when Christ makes it simple. I need Him to make it simple. Every time I'm dealing with Dale Miller, and if we have any kind of exchange, and maybe he didn't get it from a text that I might have sent, I'm a little brief sometimes on my text. He'll say, "Remember, I only have an 8th grade education." One of the smartest guys I know. Don't tell me that. But God takes your inability and puts His ability on it. He takes your weakness and adds His strength. See, we are limiting ourselves, and in a way we're limiting God, because all we see is flesh. I think we need to lift our eyes up. God, help us to be that ambassador that You have called us to be, and to tell people. Wouldn't it be wonderful? What if every one of us left this building today so infused with the hope of God that wherever we went, we just spoke hope? You think Paris needs that? Yes. Absolutely. The second thing I see is Jesus is able to heal our bodies. Psalms 103. I love Psalms 103 if you hadn't studied it. Who forgives all of our iniquities and heals all your diseases. Peter comes back and he says, "And by His stripes we were healed." The price has been paid. John chapter 14, when Jesus is speaking to His disciples, He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he'll do also." Well, somehow that must have stopped with the apostles. Yeah, my Bible doesn't say it, but sure seems like it. "And greater works than these He will do." Who? You. You. Just regular old you. See, we ain't getting it. You ain't you anymore. You are infused with the Holy Spirit. The power of God is within you. So we can do greater works if we'll just stop and pray. Listen to the rest of this verse. Greater works, He says, "because I go to My Father." I can't believe that Jesus said this, but He says it twice. "And whatever you ask in My name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And He says it like, okay, no, I don't think He got that. "If you ask anything in My name, I'll do it." Woo, what a promise. You know, He comes back in chapter 15 when He talks about the vine. 15 verse 7, He says almost the same thing again. I'm telling you, He is telling us something that our little thick heads are not getting. Quit limiting the power of God. The power of God is not limited of flesh and blood. Just release that power. Let's stand upon His Word. Let's speak His Word. Let's pray. And let's believe God to do something. The third thing is Jesus is the Redeemer of our souls from our bad decisions. Aren't you thankful? Now this man in this story did not make a bad decision, but God still redeems it, doesn't He? This was nothing to do with this man. He was born this way, and God saw the need and touched his life. He says, again, Psalms 103, "Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Anybody want to sign up for that promise? Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What does redemption mean? It's deliverance because of a payment or a price. In other words, He has paid the price for you to go free from your past. Redemption refers to salvation from sin and death and from the wrath of God. When He says that the blessing of Abraham, you'll look back to Genesis chapter 12, you'll see that God spoke a sevenfold blessing over Abraham. God has always intended to bless His people. And He says that God took the curse so that the blessing could come upon us. If I could describe it this way, I would say, if you can visualize with me a table that goes from this sister over here to Mackenzie, just a huge table filled with food. I mean, just an abundance of food. And we're coming up with a plate and we're picking a little this and a little that. Well, there's a lot of people here and I don't want to be selfish. So obviously they're not Christian, but so picking just a little bit. Never been to a church potluck, have they? And we're leaving the banquet table with just a little bit of substance on our plate and an abundance of blessings right before us. Folks, if you can see this in your mind, I would ask you this. What are you leaving on the table? What are you leaving on the table? What does God want to do in your life that you said, I can't do that? And I'll just answer that question for you. You're right, you can't do it. You can't do it. And if you try to do it in yourself, you're going to beat your head against the wall. See, He's made strong in our weakness. It's not about us. He will glorify in our weakness. It's about Jesus in us. But there are things that God wants to use you to do to change our world. But you need to step in faith and believe that God will use you. I'm so thankful for this story that Peter and John knew. They had just come from the day of Pentecost. My pastor used to always say that we minister in the overflow. And therein is part of the problem. So many Christians are dry, spiritually complacent, that we can't see much good coming out of us. Because we're just sitting like this. Well, that service wasn't very good today, was it? Ain't nobody really worshiped. Boy, I can remember the day when we would shout up and down the aisles. And meanwhile, this is the way they set the whole service. Who do you think's going to start it? I think Christ wants to start it in you. Let the Holy Ghost, let the fire of God start in me. What if that was every one of our prayer? What would Paris be like next Sunday? I don't think it'd take long at all. You sent 100 people out into this town full of the hope and the fire of the Holy Ghost. We'd be walking down the aisles of Kroger. Hey, you need prayer? Bless God. I just come out of church and I'm ready to war. I'm ready to pray for somebody. People would say, leave me alone, would you? Ain't nothing wrong with me, but I'm really wondering about you. Jesus is the gift giver. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, so if you sinful people, he's talking about us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. It happened at salvation. Now we believe that there's another work that God wants to do. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will here just overflow in you. But He's there. The greatest gift outside of Christ that God could give you was the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have Him. And unfortunately, most of us are not doing much with it. Why? Because our little minds have been programmed to say, I can't. I can't do that. I'm not able. I haven't been to seminary. I don't know the scriptures well enough. We're limiting the power of God. What if we just said, okay, God, here's the deal. I'm willing. Whatever you want to do with this old chunk of flesh, you feel free. Just have your way in me. If you tell me to pray for somebody, I'll pray for them, Lord. I was telling the first service this morning, I was sitting in my office when I ran the Senior Citizen Center one time, and there was a guy in the office. He's actually from Paris. And I heard him talking, and he was telling the people in the lab there with him that he had cancer. And so I perked my ears up, and I began to listen. And he was telling the prognosis and blah, 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 blah. And so I just got up out of my desk, and I walked in there, and whatever his name was, I don't even remember. Knew his last name, but I won't give you that. So I said, John, I said, was that you that's been diagnosed with cancer? He said, yeah. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, I don't think God cares. And I certainly don't. And so finally he says, and he had never heard me pray before. He probably thought, oh, that old Pentecost, you better watch it. But I don't know what happened. But I know that I did my part. I don't know the end of the story. Are you willing? Are you willing to step out of yourself? Let me say it this way. Are you willing to step out of your pride? See, I've got to look like I got my act together. I've got to look a certain way because I represent Bridge of Hope Church. I am their pastor. Big deal, right? Big deal. You know what people need to see? Christ in us. They need to see that we believe what we're preaching. There's a world full, especially here. You know, when I gave you those statistics, I sort of knew in your mind, people are in this room saying, that's not the world that I know. Well, you're right. You live in the Bible Belt. You are in a little bubble. You are in a state that the governor will call for prayer and fasting. That's pretty phenomenal. But I'm going to tell you, you go 100 miles either direction, north, south, east, and west, and you're going to get out of the bubble. And you're going to see how Americans really believe. And it's going to shock you. And what do they need? They need Christ. They don't need more good sermons. They need Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the source to everything that we need. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these things that we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He just said something that just shocks me, that God says, I will allow you into my world. I will allow you to walk in the divine nature of God. No longer do you have to be limited to what you know, to what your strength can provide. We do not have to be limited because God just says, come on in there. I want you to experience the divine. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive so much more than tongues. And that was my whole lesson last week. Don't make Pentecost just about speaking in tongues. He came to bring 9 gifts, and most of those gifts, He did not come just to use them in church. He come so with a bag full of gifts. The Holy Spirit come with a bag full of gifts, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, so that you can use them in Kroger. So that you could use them on your job. You ever had somebody come to you and says, I don't know what's going on, but I'm telling you, my world seems to be falling apart. You know what they need? Let me tell you, sister, I know one that can put your world back together. I've got a book called Conquering the Chaos of Your Mind. It's one of the best books I've ever read in my life. This man says that social scientists have come and they said, we have approximately 60,000 thoughts a day. And 90% of those thoughts are repetitive. We are like broken records, if you're old enough to remember record players. Remember when you were kids and a record would get a scratch on it? And it would play that same line over and until you'd get up and move the needle. Well, that's the way your mind does. And so if you get up in the morning and you think, I'm worthless. There's nothing good happening in my life. I want you to know that record's going to play over and over and over and over and over and over in your mind. Until you take captive that thought, put it down in the name of Jesus and declare what He says about you. We pray a lot for people's physical illnesses. But I'm going to tell you, our world is sick right here. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say it irreverently. I'm saying it with all the concern that I have in my heart. People need Jesus in their head. People need to know that there is hope. I'm telling you, when a 15-year-old girl can get up here that loves Jesus with all her heart and said, when I was 15 years old, I wanted to end it. That scares me as a preacher. I'm thinking if the people in the church lose that much hope that they think, what am I even here for? That scares me. Because Christ is more. But we've got to open up our mouths. We are going to have to stop and look at people and declare the word of the Lord. And the only way to do that is you got to get in His presence first. There is no shortage with Christ. Shortage is here. Are you sensitive to people's needs? Have you thought this already today? How many people am I passing by every day that need me to pray for them? That just may need a word from the Lord. And do you realize the Holy Spirit in you can deliver that word? You realize that? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, He has it. You know, I say stuff like this. I believe every person's heart has a key to it. And God has that key that can unlock that heart. You ever had a child that you just didn't seem like you could get to him? No? That's just your kids, I guess. I want you to know, God's got the key to that baby's heart. God has the answer if we're willing to ask the Lord. God, I need wisdom. Would you stand with me? I know you probably have never heard this story preached this way. What I wanted you to see Peter and John did not go looking for someone to pray for. Did you hear me? I know you're standing, but you can stand and still think. I promise. They did not go looking for someone to heal. But as they went, that's what Scripture says, they were going to the temple to pray. And as they went, they met a lame man. And John, I think, stops and just looks at him, locks eyes. And he begins to perceive that God wants to do something in that life. I wonder what God wants to do in your life today. If you say nothing, you are so wrong. If you come to church, God wants to do something. I've often said nothing happens with God until you humble yourself. You've got to humble yourself and call upon the name of the Lord. But the Lord wants to touch you. Why? So you can have an emotional experience? So you can have a goosebump? No, no. So that when you leave this place, you'll be an ambassador. You know that's what you are. According to the word of the Lord, you're His ambassador. Are you willing to speak? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to let God? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Amen. Can I pray for you? Father God, I pray for this congregation. God, I pray, Lord, that they would say yes today to the Spirit of God. God, I pray that you would move us out of complacency, that you would shake us a little bit this morning, God, so that we would understand the coming of the Lord is soon. And people all around us need Jesus. People all around us need a word from the Lord. They just need to know that Jesus loves them, that God is still on the throne, that He is still in control, that God can. God can minister to whatever need you have. God, I pray, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God washes over this congregation and gives them the okay to be used by you today. So that, God, we're going to go forth and we're going to begin to lay our hands on people. We're going to begin to pray the prayer of faith. We're going to begin to speak hope to hopeless situations. We're going to begin to tell people God can, God is able, and that God loves you. And God is willing to intersect your life and to intercede in your account. If you'll cry out to Him, the Bible says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called on Him today? What is your need? Where are you limiting God in your life? I pray today that the limits would come off so that you could believe God will fill you so that you can touch others. May the power of the Holy Spirit rest upon you today and fill you and bring His wonderful gifts to help you to be an ambassador. God, I pray, Lord, let us desire more of the Holy Spirit than we've ever had before. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me end with a blessing, and then I'm going to run back to the door, so don't beat me to the door, okay? Raise your hand, receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Hey, wait just a second. Thank you for waving at me. Brother Huey back here. His wife's father passed away suddenly this week. Stacy's dad, that was the young man standing here, that was his grandfather singing. And so I just tell you that to say, love a little bit more, okay? Just extend a little mercy and love and grace and be praying for the Huey family. This was not an expected death. This was very unexpected, and that makes it quite a bit harder. And so just remember the Huey family in prayer. Amen. Raise your hand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace, nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go out of this wall and be His ambassador. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.